Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty with Clemson Extension and Making It Grow, and this is a Making It Grow Extra podcast. I'm speaking today with Eric Benson. Eric is an extension entomologist. Eric, I think people think that most extension entomologists are trying to help control insect pests of fruits and vegetables or grass, turf grasses and things, but you've had a different charge in your career at Clemson, I believe.
That's right. I'm known as an urban entomologist, which I tell people is a misnomer. It sounds like maybe I only work in cities or something like that. I actually deal with insect problems where people live, work, and play. So it's pretty much everywhere. So from your home to commercial accounts that you may go to or people work in, manufacturing, to recreational areas, my focus is on where insects impact people in those locations.
This time of year, and we're recording this in the spring, mid-April, people are often horrified because they see these swarms of flying insects. And to homeowners, the idea of a termite infestation is quite upsetting. Overall, though, I think termites are considered beneficial in the ecology of the world.
Oh, they're incredibly beneficial. We want termites in the world. They've been on planet Earth long before recorded time, and they have the ability that most animals don't, most organisms don't, for taking cellulose in plant material and recycling it back into usable nutrients for Mother Nature, if you will. So they're out in the forest recycling trees, branches, anything that falls to the forest floor. So again, they're very beneficial. The problem is when you clear the forest and you plunk down a stick house made of 2x4s, they don't know the difference between a pine log and a pine 2x4, and they're not going to just go away. So that's when they can move into our structures and start to consume lumber and become a problem.
So they are decomposers. We're always talking about how wonderful it is to have decomposers.
Yep, very important.
I always thought that termites were like ants. And then when I was taking entomology at Clemson, I learned that they're actually different in a good many ways, because ants, I think, have complete metamorphosis, and termites have a simpler form of going from egg to adult. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, please?
Sure. And very good, Amanda. You remembered your basic entomology. Yeah. Ants, we're not going to talk about ants right now, but a lot of people don't understand that they're more like a moth or a caterpillar, where they go egg, larva, pupa, adult. A lot of people think ants come out of the egg looking like a little baby worker ant. They don't. They're a little grub, and they have to pupate to become an adult. Termites have a more primitive style of developing, more like cockroaches, and they're actually very closely related to cockroaches, where it's egg and then nymph, and then adult. So they come out of the egg as a tiny, tiny little baby termite, and they look like a termite. You can tell they're a termite. They're not going to pupate. Now they can't do forage. They don't start to forage until they've molted about 3 times. And different termites will become different castes, as we say. Most will become workers that will be the ones that are consuming the cellulose. A few will become soldiers, about 1 or 2, maybe 3%. And then some will become alates, or the swarmers that you're talking about. That's what people see this time of year. And then a few might become secondary reproductives. And those are daughters of the queen that also can lay viable eggs that help with sheer numbers as the colony matures over about 4, 5, 6 year period.
Oh, that's a long time to reach a mature colony.
You know, when we started doing what we call mark recapture work years ago, we would dye termites permanent color so we could follow them in the environment. It's like giving them a tattoo. And if you had asked me before that work, you know, how long does a termite live? I would have thought, I don't know, months. Yeah. We would see termites a year later that we dyed blue or bright red. Some people were seeing them 3 years later. Queens have been kept in colony for 15 to 20 years. So here you have tiny little quarter inch or less size insects that can live decades, which is amazing to me.
And I believe that there's a king unlike the fire ants or other ants that we're always talking about, you know, and the male's just there to mate, does the king stay and be a part of the colony?
Yeah, when you see all those termites swarming this time of year, about half are female, about half are males. You can always tell the males because he's behind the girl. She's putting out a mating pheromone. And so they'll fly after one another. And then when she lands and finds that place she deems going to be the perfect place to start the new family, the new colony, she'll stretch out her wings, which have these little stout hairs, and then she'll sort of twist her body and rip her wings off. Huh. And then her boyfriend says, okay, and he'll put out his wings, and he'll rip his wings off. And then they go from boyfriend, girlfriend, Amanda, to being married. And because you're not going anywhere once you rip your wings off.
Yeah.
And they go and they mate. And then the male stays with her and can live many, many years. We used to pick on the male and say, well, they didn't do much after the mating, but they actually do have some role in colony maintenance and taking care of the nuptial chamber, as we call it, for the king and the queen.
Termites live in different ways in the environment, don't they? Some of them are in the ground, some of them are not in the ground. Can we talk about the kinds that we see in South Carolina and the different threats that they present to homeowners or wooden structures?
Yeah, you know, there's well over 2,000 species of termites in the world, and they do a lot of amazing things. In South Carolina, we have 8 species. 4 of those are drywood species, and 4 of those are subterranean species. So I've been mostly talking about subterraneans because they're the ones that have the main economic impact for us. Drywoods are common, though, especially along the coast, and they tend to be smaller colonies that you quote-unquote see in dry wood. They don't do the same amount of damage as subterranean termites do. The problem with drywoods is if they do get into a structure, sometimes you can have multiple colonies in this one structure, so it's like pockets of termites. So if you had 10 drywood termite colonies in a structure and you found 6 of them and you could treat for them or remove them, that's great. But if you miss 4, you still have an issue. Again, drywoods are not so much a problem in South Carolina. From Charleston down to Beaufort is where we mainly see them. Of course, they can show up anywhere. The subterraneans are the ones that live underground. We have 4 species of those. 3 are native. 1 is exotic or imported. And those are the ones that come up and make those tunnels into our homes and can number into the hundreds of thousands or in some cases millions. So those are the ones that can be quite destructive.
And so if we see these mud kind of chambers or little trails, is that something they do to protect themselves? Do they have to protect themselves from that, from the open air, if they're going to leave their underground home and try to come up the wall and get into our house?
Absolutely. The workers are little white squishy insects, and one of their biggest problems is desiccating or drying out. Mm-hmm. So they lose moisture very fast if they're out in the environment. So they have to build these little tunnels, these little subway tunnels, to keep in moisture. It also helps to keep out predators and pathogens and such. So we call it a shelter tube because it shelters the termites as they move from their underground chambers and then up into our structures.
Okay. When you work with professional, and termites are something professional licensed applicators need to be involved in, I believe, are the methods they use when properly done safe to a family, if you have children and pets?
People have been doing termite treatment safely for decades and decades and decades. You really need to know what you're doing. There are different types of treatments that you can use. People shouldn't be around a professional pest control operator putting, a liquid chemical in the ground. The chemical, when it does go in the ground, is usually diluted with a lot of water. So you need to know what you're doing. But if you know what you're doing, it can be applied effectively and safely.
Okay. If you move into a new home and you, or buy an older home and you want to be sure that you are confident in the applicator, what are some of the, are there contracts that you're going to sign with them? Are there certain things you should look at? And are there some tips that you can give us?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes. And you know, when you're buying a new home or you're moving into a home, you have so many other things going on. And you'll get a termite report or wood infestation report. And it's just like, oh my gosh, one more document. But when you think about it, your home for most people is one of the most expensive purchases they ever make in their entire life. And so it behooves you to take a little time and understand that termite contract or that wood inspection report that was done. And I, unfortunately, you know, read the fine print, understand what the professional used to treat your home. It might have been a bait. It might have been a direct wood treatment. It might have been a liquid chemical in the ground. It could have been a combination of all three. Mm-hmm. And then look at their warranty. What are they guaranteeing for their treatment? Are they guaranteeing that if you get damage after they did a treatment, they will cover repair costs up to a certain amount? Are they covering all the termites that we see in South Carolina, the subterraneans, or are they excluding any? So it is important. And just ask questions. And if you don't know or not sure about the answers that you're getting, there's the Clemson Extension Service that is knowledgeable. There's the Department of Pesticide Regulation that has very knowledgeable field specialists that can help homeowners in South Carolina understand and negotiate this.
All right. So we can use our Clemson resources to try to help us understand the contract before we sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to probably go over every contract, you know, for every home sold in South Carolina, but there are resources out there. We have fact sheets. DPR, Department of Pesticide Regulation, has fact sheets. There's really good information on the web. And, you know, most pest control operators do this because they want to do a good job. They have a mindset of service. They're professionals. This is their livelihood. And so, by and large, you know, they're going to do a good job and want to do a good job.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for explaining this fascinating insect to us today, and also for the years that you have spent helping our licensed professional applicators understand how best they can treat this problem and at the same time protect the environment. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.